Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, each and every one that is joining in with us this evening for the fourth night of Purpose Kingdom Network 2019 end of the year revival, watching for Jesus. I count it an honor and a blessing that each and every one of you counted it not robbery to be here with us this evening. I am just so excited about what I am believing God to do, what I am believing God for. The affirmation for today's advertisement has been blessings are going to pour on night four. So I'm coming to you this evening in a place of expectation, waiting and watching for Jesus to see what he is going to do this evening. I am Pastor Tyleen Daly of Purpose Kingdom Network, and with the help of God, under the guidance and tutelage of his Holy Spirit, we will be bringing a word to you this evening. Our theme scripture for this year's revival can be found in Matthew 25:13, and it says, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Amen. And we know that the word of the Lord is already blessed. Now, before we go before the Lord, we are going to be ministered to in song by our very own sister, Adrienne Allen, after which I will come back. We will have prayer, and then we will dive directly into the word of God. Amen. Sister Adrienne.
I can only imagine what it would be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine to be surrounded by your glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah, or will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day will come when I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. Can you only imagine to be surrounded by his glory? What will your heart feel? Will you dance or do Jesus? Or in all of him is you? Will you stand in the presence, or to your knees will you fall? Will you sing hallelujah? Will you be able to speak at all? Can you only imagine? I can only myself. Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. I can only imagine. Hallelujah, God, to stand in his presence, to stand in his glory, to stand before the throne of God. I can only imagine. Hallelujah, God. We just thank Sister Adrian for that ministry through song. I can only imagine. I want to first give an honor to God, who was first in my life, to my pastor, Johnny Bullock of First Baptist Church of Florence Estate, New Jersey, to every bishop, apostle, pastor, reverend, minister, evangelist, deacon, mother, layperson, believer and non-believer alike, to every listener everywhere throughout every time zone. We not only give you honors, but we greet you in the spirit of peace, blessings, and love of Jesus Christ. I am just so excited about what God has been doing throughout this revival, and I'm excited to see what he is going to continue to do throughout it as we leave the year 2019 and move into 2020. I'm excited to see what God is going to do. And we know that 2020, when you hear 2020, it's usually about someone's vision. And it's usually referring to if they have what they would call perfect vision or not. They would say they had 2020 vision. So this year, our revival theme is watching for Jesus. And I'm going to be coming to you this evening from the book of Matthew. We are going to be in the 25th chapter, and we are going to be using the revival theme scripture as our key scripture. So I'm going to read it to you again. That was Matthew chapter 25, verse 13, and it reads, Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And as I said before, we know that the word of the Lord is already blessed. And I would like to use for a theme or a topic this year, our revival's theme, watching for Jesus. So let us go before the Lord, and then we are going to dive into his word. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Father. Father God, it is once more and again that we, your handmaid servants, we come humbly yet boldly before the throne of glory. We come, Father, first as bad children before a good parent. We come asking for forgiveness of any sins that we may have committed through thoughts, deed, or action, knowingly or unknowingly, Father, sins of commission as well as sins of omission, Father. We ask that you would forgive us of them and that you would cast them into yonder sea of forgetfulness, that they not rise up against us in that day of judgment. Then, God, we come asking that you would release a spirit of forgiveness in each and every one of us, so that we are able to forgive those who have offended us in the mighty name of Jesus in obedience to your word, Father. Then, God, we come before you just praising your holy name this evening. We come thanking you, Father God. We come thanking you, Father God, for it was you who brought us safely to this place in this evening, God, that we could bless your name, that we could get a word from the Lord, that our spirits could be revived. For we know that everyone who woke up with us this morning did not get to see this moment in this day, Lord. And we know that it was not luck that got us here, but it was through the unctioning and the covering of your Holy Spirit. So we say thank you, Father God. We ask, God, that you will toil the soil of our minds, that Your word will fall on good ground this evening, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that it will take root, Father, growing into good fruit-bearing trees in the name of Jesus, God. God, as we come before you this evening, I don't know what each of your people listening may be in the need of, but I know, God, that you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. So I ask a special request, Father, that in the mighty name of Jesus, you will meet the needs of your people this evening, wherever they are, whatever it may be, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, if they need healing, we ask that you release healing, Father. If they need a roof over their head, we ask that you provide it, Father. If they need clothes on their back, we ask that you provide it. In the name of Jesus, God, if they need food on their table, we ask that you provide it, Father. If they need deliverance from mental disease and depressions, Father, we ask that you bring it about right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. We ask, God, that you will comfort any grieving heart this evening, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. We ask, God, that you would draw some lost soul to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Then, Lord, I stand before you a surrendered vessel, Father, waiting to be used as you see fit. So, therefore, I ask, Father, that you will allow the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart to be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It is in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Again, I don't know about you, but I am excited. I am just so excited as we study watching for Jesus. And we are coming from Matthew chapter 25, and our theme scripture, our topic scripture, our key scripture for this evening is Matthew 25 and 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now, the first thing that I want you to realize is that all throughout the scripture, we find people looking, waiting, and watching for the Messiah, the Christ, the fulfillment of the prophecies of God. And these weren't new prophecies. These were prophecies that were spoken way back in eternity past at the time of the fall. Way back in the Garden of Eden, after the fall, we find God talking to the serpent, to Adam, and to Eve. And God tells the serpent that he will put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, and that the woman's seed would bruise the head of the serpent, and that the serpent would bruise the head of, the heel of the woman's seed. And you can find the account of this, or a reaccount of this, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. But ever since God has spoken those words, mankind has awaited for his arrival. In time past, we watched waiting and looking for the coming Messiah. If you look all throughout the Old Testament of the Bible, if you look throughout the Torah, if even, believe it or not, if you look throughout the Quran, you will find that they all hold prophecies about this coming Messiah, about his first coming and his second coming. Then the funny part that all of these books hold prophecies and tell of his coming, the funny part is that when he finally showed up on the scene, and when he finally shows up and fills every prophecy and requirement of the law, the funny thing is that everybody that was awaiting him, nobody knew who he was. No one recognized him. I'm not making this up. You can read about this in John chapter 1. Verse 10 tells us he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And So when Jesus came the first time, when the Messiah came the first time, the fulfillment of the first portion of prophecy shows up, man did not recognize who he was. They did not realize who he is. And he came and he lived and he laid his life down on an old rugged cross, and they buried him in the grave, and he rose 3 days later, and he ascended unto the Father. And ever since his ascension back unto the Father, you find that mankind has once again been watching and waiting for him to return. Now, it's funny because I realized that there are at least 14 different scriptures in the New Testament that instructs us to watch for Jesus. Why is that of any importance, that it should even be mentioned? It's because of the meaning of the number 14 in the biblical realm, in the spiritual realm. Biblically, the number 14 is symbolic to salvation and deliverance. So the first thing that I want to bring to your attention is when you find yourself truly watching for Jesus, you will find yourself walking in salvation and deliverance. And I'm going to explain that to you in a little bit. But what I need you to know, for those who don't know, there's something special about salvation and deliverance. Salvation and deliverance are actually spiritual gateway drugs. Hallelujah, God. See, everybody with the drug epidemic on the rise, especially with what they're dealing with here in Philadelphia, everybody talks about the gateway drugs that leads to heavier drugs. And what I want you to know is that there are spiritual gateway drugs. And for the child of God, it is salvation and deliverance. And what they will lead to is you being drugged with the Holy Spirit, you being drugged with the anointing power of God, you being drugged with abundance life, you being drugged with strength, and the list can go on and on and on. However, we as believers who are supposed to be here watching and waiting for the return of Christ, when you talk to some of them, knowing that watching for Jesus to return is a spiritual gateway drug that leads from salvation to deliverance and to being filled with the Holy Spirit and anointing and power and abundance and strength, and the list goes on, as I just said. When you talk to so many believers today, when you scroll through social media sites, when you look through different networks and news feeds, what you find is that the people of God, those believers in Jesus, instead of feeling empowered, they feel powerless. Instead of feeling free, they feel bound. And instead of feeling the abundance, they feel empty. Instead of feeling strong, they feel broken. And their list could go on and on. And it made me start to seek God, because I needed to know, how is it that watching is supposed to lead us to so much more, yet we feel the way that we feel? I needed to know how this was even possible. And the revelation and the illumination that God gave me was not only powerful and mind-blowing, it was also very, very simple. And what God revealed to me was that some of us think that we are really watching for Jesus Christ, but we're not. I know somebody just got upset. I know I made somebody's head turn, but I got to give you what God told you. It told me to tell you this evening. I know we believe that we are doing this thing right, but the truth is we haven't been. The truth is we are doing some things that look like watching, and some of it actually may even be a part of watching, but it's not the same thing as actually watching for Jesus. It's not the same thing as watching. And you've heard us make those statements just in general when we're talking about Christ's return. You'll hear people say, I'm just looking for Jesus to return. But I got a news flash for you. Looking alone is not enough. You'll hear us make the statement like I'm waiting for Jesus to return. But a news flash for you is that waiting is not enough. Because God's word does not tell us to just look for him or to wait for him. It says to watch for him. But we are going to come back to that in a minute and break that all the way down. Then we have those of us who we may actually be watching, but we are so focused on the horizon that we are missing what's going on in the harbor right in front of us. Hallelujah. For those that missed that, in other words, we are so fixed on waiting for his return that we are ignoring his presence that is taking place right here in front of us. Somebody sitting there and they saying, "No, you don't know what you're talking about." Well, all you got to do is go into a church sanctuary anywhere and watch the presence of God move and look at the folk that don't never tap a finger, nod a head, wiggle, clap their hand, don't do nothing. They just sitting there, some of them passing judgment, trying to figure out what you jumping around or running around or making so much noise for. Or if you don't believe me, go into some of the homes across and around the world and you could see a mother, a grandmother, a father, a grandfather, a uncle sitting in a room praising God and just giving God the glory. And all around him, his family is raising hell. The truth of it is that we get so caught up on looking for him to return that we miss his presence. We ignore his presence that is right here with us now. And then finally, there is those of us that are truly watching for him to show up. We are paying attention to the horizon and the harbor. However, we have not realized that he is trying to show up through us. We're waiting to see the Red Sea open. We're waiting to see the multitude fed, but we're waiting to see God do it in some amazing way. So let's look back at our theme scripture, because we're talking about watching for Jesus, watching for Jesus. We should be watching for Jesus. It says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Now, not only is our theme scripture the ending statement of Jesus' parable of the 10 virgins who were waiting for the return of their bridegroom, but it is also something that I like to call a nugget, a hidden message with inside a message, a hidden treasure of information that God has truthfully placed in plain sight for all of us to find if we are just willing to dig it out. Amen. And so to keep with my teachings, I can't even get into the nugget without telling you what's going on in this scripture that leads us to the 13th verse. So as I said, there are 10 virgins, and you can read it for yourself in Matthew chapter 25, but I'm going to give you a summary or toys version of the story as it is. And these 10 virgins are waiting for the return of their bridegroom. Now, 5 of these virgins were considered to be wise, and 5 of them were considered to be foolish. What made them wise or foolish was based on their willingness to be prepared for an event that they had been chosen to participate in and to be the bride of the bridegroom. Now, the 5 who were considered to be wise, when they were chosen by the bridegroom, they went and they grabbed their lamps and they grabbed some extra oil for their lamps and they followed after their bridegroom. Now, the 5 who were considered foolish, when they were chosen, they grabbed their lamps and ran immediately after the bridegroom with only what they had in their lamps. Now, the bridegroom must have told these virgins to wait for him, because the scripture says that while he tarried, that means while he was away, while they were waiting, they all slumbered and slept. So the virgins fell asleep. They slumbered and slept. And see, that's a sermon right there in itself, and I'm going to fight my way past that because I want to go into that slumber and slept, but we don't have time this evening. So while he tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And the announcement was given that the bridegroom was approaching and they needed to get ready so they could go with the bridegroom. They needed to grab their lamps and oil so that they would be ready, because after all, they were chosen for him and by him. Now, the five who were considered wise, they grabbed their lamps, filled it fresh with fresh oil, and lit their flames. But that was not the case for the five who were considered foolish, for they had run out of oil. So long story short, the foolish left in an attempt to find more oil, to purchase enough to light their lamps. However, the bridegroom arrived while they were gone, and he left with the five that were ready for him. Now, when the five who are considered foolish got back and saw that they had missed him, they must have made up in their minds that no, this can't be happening. This has to be a mistake, because after all, he chose us. Like, I can see this in my spiritual head, the five of them just standing around together. You know, we know where he at. We know where he going to be. We know where the wedding ceremony taking place at. Let's go and meet him there. We not going to miss our own wedding. That's a whole hallelujah, God. That's a sermon right there also. Don't miss the wedding ceremony. But we're not going to stop there. So the five that missed them, the five that are considered foolish, they arrive to what is supposed to be their ceremony venue, and they knock on the door, and I can see them standing there knocking on the door, and someone must have said, "Who is it?" And they're like, "It's me, the one you picked, the one you chose. We're here now." And the bridegroom opens the door, looks at them, and asks them one simple question. He said, "Do I know you? Do I know you?" And then he closed the door. Bad as I want to preach right there, that's not where we at right now. But now, after Jesus finished telling this story, he looks at his disciples and tells them to watch, therefore. Be ready, because I may have chosen you, but you must stay ready to be ready and able to go. So watch, because you don't know the season. You don't know the year. You don't know the month. You don't know the day nor the time that I am going to come. So that is what is going on as we hit this 13th verse. And in telling that story, yes, when you first look at this scripture, there is the basic overall description of the return of Jesus Christ, the rapture, Christ returning the second time to rapture up his church to meet his bride, the bridegroom, which is the church. And when you see this, you know that the 10 virgins represent the church as a whole, the body of Christ. The five wise virgins represent those that have been saved, filled, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And the five that were foolish represent those that gave their lives to Christ. So, yes, they were saved, but they were never filled or sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now, I know somebody just got upset, said, "Hey, wait a minute, Word of God said, once I'm saved, I have eternal life." But I don't want you to get mad at me, because I'm not the one that wrote it. I'm just going to tell you what it says. But if you look at John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus himself said, "Very, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." So what I need you to know, that these five foolish represent a part of the church who, although they had a name on somebody's roll, they had a church membership, they did not have a personal relationship. They were never covered under the seal of the Holy Spirit. But we know they represent a part of the church, because they went out to meet the bridegroom. And we know that the bride only goes out to meet the bridegroom, and that the church makes up the bride. Hallelujah. And the other reason that we know that he's talking about that these five foolish were also saved people were because of who he was talking to. If you go back to the 24th chapter, you will find in verse 3 that Jesus was actually sitting on the Mount of Olives when this conversation begins, and the disciples approach him privately and they ask him, "Master, tell us when these things shall be." And he said to them in the 24th chapter that basically no man knows the day nor the hour, but this is what it's going to look like. And he begins to tell them different stories or parables to help them grasp what it would be like, what it would look like, so they would know what to watch for. And by the time you get to the 10 virgins and virgins in chapter 25, he is still talking privately with the disciples. Why is that important that I stress this for you this evening? Is because the five foolish virgins again represent a group that gave their life to Christ, but they were never sealed with the Holy Spirit. And because they were not sealed with the Holy Spirit, they could not get in. Why is that important? Is some folk think because their name on the church roll that they cool? Is some folk think that just because they accepted Christ as their Savior, they don't have to seek the Holy Spirit? They don't have to pray for the Holy Spirit? I'm just going to say to you, I don't want nobody out there to miss their wedding day. Hallelujah, God. Now, those were the virgins. When you look at the lamps that the virgins carried, the lamps are symbolic for the word of God. Remember, Psalms 119 and 105 tells us that God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light on our path. And the oil represents the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. And if you look at Isaiah 61 and 1, it tells us the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. How did he anoint him? Through his Spirit, to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to prisoners. So, yes, it is true that this parable is about the resurrection and the return of Jesus Christ to claim the church, his bride. However, when you get to the 13th verse, we find this hidden a nugget of wisdom and instruction. Now, what I want you to remember is that Jesus told us in Matthew 13:11 that it has been given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So if you are willing to dig with me this evening, let's catch this deeper meaning, that if we catch it, not only will it help us get ready, but it will help us be ready and stay ready for Jesus to come. Hallelujah, God. And we find this nugget in the word watch. Hallelujah. Now, before we get to watch, I have to look at another little gem that I saw laying right there next to watch, and it was the word come. And I'm going to explain that to you, because we all always have to remember that God is omnipresent. He is in every place at every second. I personally believe that all of everything that exists actually exists in him, but that's another study for another time. And because he is omnipresent, so also is his word. Amen. It holds all three places of the time continuum at the same time: past, present, and future. And when you look at this statement that Jesus made at different times throughout chapter 24 and 25, you will see that he worded it to fulfill all three places in time: the past, the present, and the future. This is found in the word come. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines the word come as to move towards something, to journey to a vicinity with a specified purpose, to arrive at a particular place, end result, or conclusion. The word come itself holds the position of present tense. And truthfully, there is no future or present tense word, a form of this word, except for which words you attach to it. For example, you can say, I will come, or I shall come. And to say come in the past tense changes it to a whole nother word. You say, I came. Why this quick English lesson? Because when we get to this 13th verse, we have Jesus, the word that became flesh, talking, and the word that created everything is making a statement that if he wanted it to only apply to a futuristic time, place, and event, would have said, you don't know the day nor the hour the Son of Man will come, or that the Son of Man shall come, or that the Son of Man will come back or will return. But what he said is, you don't know when the Son of Man cometh or comes. Now, we know that in general, because of the totality of the conversation, that he is talking about a futuristic event, but he also was giving us a present day promise. Now, by now, I think somebody is starting to put it together in their spirit, what I'm saying, and that it is good to be ready for the return of Christ, to rapture his church, to get his bride. But we should also be ready for him to come right now, to come into your situation, to come into your life, to come on a daily basis, to come into your family, to come to your sick bed. We should be watching for Jesus to come every day, not just futuristically, knowing that he is going to show up for us each and every day. Hallelujah, God. That is what God has told me to stop by on my way to glory to let you know, is that the Son of Man cometh every single day. Every day that the Lord touches you and allows you to wake up, every day that he grants you with brand new mercies, he comes to bring healing. He comes to bring deliverance. He comes to bring joy. He comes to bring comfort. He comes to be a bridge over troubled water. He comes to make a way out of no way. Jesus, the God-man, the Messiah, the Son of Man, cometh every single day. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Now, somebody out there, and that's okay, they having a hard time following this because they can't fathom that Jesus would come before he was scheduled to return to rapture the church. But what I need you to understand is this isn't new to Jesus. He's been showing up beforehand all the time. If you look throughout the Old Testament, you will find accounts where Jesus showed up before the fullness of time when he came forth through the Virgin Mary. If you join me with Abraham, you will see that he first showed up before time as Melchizedek, and then he showed up again as a ram in the bush. He showed up for Moses as the rock that followed after them and that gave them water, and as the manna that fell from heaven. He was the muzzle that kept the lion's mouth shut for Daniel in the lion's den. He was the air conditioning system for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hallelujah, God. And this was confirmed by King Nebuchadnezzar himself when he said, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the Son of Man. And guess what? He is still able to show up in your situation today. We just need to begin to watch for him daily, because when and only when we begin to watch for him daily will we begin to flow in the power of the watch. Hallelujah, God. I'm going to say that one more time. Only when we begin to truly watch for him daily will he begin to flow in the power of the watch. Hallelujah. Now, to recap what I said earlier so you can understand what I just said just now, I said earlier at the very beginning that watching for Jesus, or watch for the Son of Man, is mentioned at least 14 times in the Bible. And I told you biblically the number 14 is God's number associated with salvation and deliverance. And I told you that salvation and deliverance is a spiritual gateway drug that leads to anointing, being filled with the Holy Spirit and power in and through Jesus Christ. And this evening we are talking about watch. I talked about the fact that we should be watching for him every day, and now we are going to switch gears just a little bit, and we're going to talk about watching for him every day, but not just watching for him every day, watching for him the way Jesus intended for us to. Hallelujah, God. If we have been doing it correctly, if you examine yourself and you like, well, you know what, I'm good. I heard what you just said, and I've been doing it correctly. I don't have nothing to worry about, then bless God for you. I want you to just pray for the ones who aren't doing it correctly. And if you find that you are one of the ones that hasn't been doing it correctly, bless God for you too. I don't want you to get upset. We just going to go over it this evening, and we're going to fix it right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, it says the definition for watch. It means to observe closely in order to check on action or change. When I read that, I had to stop for a second, because the first thing it let me know is that it's not enough to just look for his coming, but we have to watch for it. To look means to gaze upon. And yes, we all want to gaze upon him, but we can't just gaze upon him. We've got to watch for him. It's not enough to wait for him. To wait means to stay in one place with an expectation of something to happen. But to watch means to guard, protect, to be ready, to take action, not just sit in one place, but to move about vigilantly and attentive to what is going on and happening all around you. See, when you get to waiting, you might be expecting, but you staying still. But when you watching, yes, you are waiting, and yes, you are in that place of expectation, but you are also making rounds. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. It says again, to watch means to observe closely in order to check your action into change. So when you find yourself watching for Jesus, and understand we only going through the definition of the word watch, because that's what Jesus told us to do. He didn't say look, he didn't say wait, he said watch. Again, to watch means to observe closely in order to check your action into change. So when you find yourself watching for Jesus to come daily, what begins to happen is you begin to change. The first change you're going to always notice happening is going to happen within you. The scripture tells us old things begin to pass away and you begin to become new. What happens is you're watching daily for Christ, and what happens is you begin to transform into the image of Jesus Christ through the renewing of your mind, as Paul speaks about in Romans 12:2. Hallelujah, God. Watching means to be attentive, vigilant, to take care of. When you begin to watch for Jesus to come daily, you begin to become attentive to others. You become vigilant for God in taking care of others. You begin to show the love of Jesus because you have changed your fix of your location. You are no longer fixated on just the horizon, but you have started to pay attention to what's going on in the harbor right in front of you. Hallelujah, God. You begin to keep watch for things that could cause not you to drown, but that could cause others to drown in the sea of life. You begin to look for signs of the enemy, like sharks or them jellyfish things that sting people, that could kill or maim others in this sea of life. You begin to keep watch, not so that you can go talk about them, but because you are watching for the opportunity of God to allow you to jump in so that you can save them or help out, however God instructs you to do. What happens is you actually find yourself loving others as you do yourself, as Jesus instructed us to do in Matthew 22:39, when you're watching Jesus for real. And the sad part is, some of us are out there, we watching him for real, but as I said, some of us are so fixed on his coming that we miss his appearance. Remember what John stated in John 1:10-11. He said he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Do you think that's a joke? Remember the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Now, they knew all of the scripture that told of his coming. They studied these scriptures. They memorized these scriptures. They carried parts of them around in their ceremonial dress. And not only did they carry parts of them around, but they also carried out the ritual foreshadowing of what the Messiah was to do. However, they were so focused on his coming that they missed his appearance. They missed the chance to reap the benefits of being in his presence. Thank you, God. How many of us be somewhere and we miss the chance because we waiting for this second coming and we missing his appearance right now? See, don't be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They saw him raise the dead. They saw him give sight to the blind, but they refused to admit that he was the promised Messiah. They saw that he had risen from the grave, but they refused to admit that he was the Son of God. And how do we know that they didn't know? Because Acts 3 and 17 tells us they didn't know what they were doing when they crucified Jesus. Even Jesus said they missed it all in Luke 23 and 34 when he said on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." See, they were so busy waiting for his appearance that they missed his presence. Some of us are so focused on the return, we miss his presence. How? Because we're waiting and we're not watching. When you are waiting in great expectation. You know that God is going to show up. You know Jesus is going to show out. So we sit and we wait in great expectation of what he is going to do, but we have to remember that we can't sit still waiting for Jesus. When Jesus gave his command to the disciples, he said, "Go ye therefore into all the world, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ." Go ye therefore didn't mean that you could just sit still. Hallelujah, God. You had to be up moving. You had to be up doing something. Jesus said, "Pick up your cross and follow me." He didn't say, "Pick up your cross and have a seat." Hallelujah, God. You have to remember that we have to be moving, because when we are watching for God daily, we are moving around. We are alert. We are paying attention to what is happening so that we can be ready. What is it that we are being ready for? We are being ready for Jesus to show up. We are getting ready to be used by him, which brings us to the last point. Some of us are watching. We are truly watching for God. We are watching the horizon for the coming of the rapture, and we're watching the harbor for him to show up in daily situations. But the problem is, in all of our watching, we won't move again because we're waiting instead of watching. We won't move because we're waiting to see how God is going to show up in this situation. We know he's going to show up. We know he's going to show out. We know that he's going to do something miraculous. So we just sit back and we watch and we wait and we refuse to move. But what I need you to realize this evening, that you may be the tool that God wants to use to bless that situation. Hallelujah, God. I'm going to say that one more time. We need to realize that we may be the tool that God wants to use to bless that situation, to bless that person. When we begin to watch for Jesus to come daily, we are ready to guard, protect, or attend to whatever or whoever Jesus tells us to through the unction of the Holy Spirit. We are no longer waiting to see Jesus part the Red Sea, because we know that we are the staff he is going to use for the Red Sea to part. We are no longer waiting to see Jesus feed the multitude, because we know he gave us the fish and the bread and placed it in our possession. Hallelujah. We are no longer waiting for God to do, but we are listening for him to tell us what to do so that we can stand up and take action for God as we are watching for him to show up daily. Hallelujah, God. And don't worry about the fact that you have to be ready to take action. Hallelujah. Because God, through Christ Jesus, has given us a full battle-ready uniform, equipped with the weapons of our warfare. If you want to know what it is, look in Ephesians chapter 6, starting at the 14th verse. And it says, "Stand therefore, having guarded your loins, girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Hallelujah. He didn't say you can quench some of them. He didn't say you can block a few of them, but he said you will be able to quench all, hallelujah, God, all the fiery darts of the wicked, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching, ha, there go that word again, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Hallelujah, God. That's my proof of what I was saying. We got to pay attention to what's going on in the harbor, because he said, watching with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, which means we can't keep coming out of the glory of God and not speaking to our neighbors. We can't keep coming out of the glory of God and being rude to our elders. We can't keep coming out of the glory of God and being abusive to our young people. We can't keep coming out of the glory of God and not training them up in the way they should go, but thinking that we are doing something in accordance with the way that God told us to. God didn't say look, God didn't say wait. God said watch therefore. Hallelujah, God. For you know neither the day nor the hour. He can show up today in your life. He can show up today in your situation. And for those of you who have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he is showing up for you right now this second, showing up saying, come unto me, all you who are burdened and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. That you can just come unto Jesus Christ right now and accept him as your personal Savior and begin to walk into the power of the watch, where you can begin to walk into your salvation and your deliverance, where God can begin to create a new creature in you, where he can begin to transform your mind into the image of Jesus Christ. And all it takes is for you to believe on the word of God, that God said he so loved this world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah, God. His word says that if you believe in your heart and confess out of your mouth, the same shall be saved. Hallelujah. So I ask you if you would like to give your life to Christ this evening, if you would like to become a watcher this evening. Hallelujah, God. You just accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Something very simple. You just say this prayer after me. You say, Father God, I come to you this evening agreeing with your word that I am a sinner and I need to be saved. I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to change my life. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. In the mighty name of Jesus, that you will begin to make me new. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And then the last thing you do is you just tell somebody. You just have to call. You can call somebody up on the phone. You can go outside and tell somebody. Knock on your neighbor's door. If somebody's in the house, run up and tell them. Just say, hey, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior this evening. According to God's word, once you do that, you are saved. Now, we encourage you to find a Bible believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. We also invite you to join back with us tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. when I tell you God is just doing an awesome, awesome work right here at Purpose Kingdom Network. Join us tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. for Bishop Donald Jackson. Hallelujah, God. We have Bishop Donald Jackson here with us tomorrow evening. I'm excited to hear from this anointed man of God and what he is going to do with and for us. Hallelujah, God. And I want to encourage you this evening to continue, hallelujah, to watch for Jesus, because all of everything you heard me say, all of the equipment that God has for us, you only can obtain once you begin to truly watch for Jesus. Amen. God bless you, and you stay blessed. We will see you right here tomorrow evening again at 9 p.m. www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom for the fifth night of Purpose Kingdom Network's 2019 end of the year revival, Watching for Jesus with Bishop Donald Jackson. Do not miss the move of God. I pray that the words that came forth were a blessing for you. I pray that they sunk into your spirit. I pray that you will be able to join in with us tomorrow evening. I pray that God will keep you all safe from any hurt, harm, and danger throughout this evening, that he will touch each of you with a finger of mercy and love and allow you to wake up tomorrow in your right frame of mind with the activity of your limbs and give you a chance to be a blessing, a blessing, hallelujah, God, to be an anointing, to be a solution for him, for someone else, to allow you to have the opportunity to show the love of Jesus to others. It is in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless y'all. See you tomorrow evening.
Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Devil wanna see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.
Yeah.